I want to discuss tonight a little bit about the rules for calculating boshas. So, this Ethan we're learning in Shulchan Aruch this week. So, there are two Mishnayos in Hachovel, going back to the Sugyos first, there are two Mishnayos in Hachovel which discuss how to calculate boshas. Right away in the first Mishnah in the Perek, right at the beginning, the Mishnah gives you the basic instructions for how to calculate the five types of Tashlumen. So it says, Boshas hakolafi amavayish amazbayish. Boshas depends on the level of prestige or status or class of the perpetrator and the victim. The Gemara on Daf Pei Vav actually brings a machlokas tanaim about it. There is a shita, or a meir shita, among others. A meir shita is that boshas does not depend on the mizbayish. It's equal for all Jews, very democratic. All Jews, Shem ben Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, all Jews are special, they're all descendants of Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, but we don't paskin like that, we paskin Hakol Lefi HaMavayish HaMizbayish. That's in the Shulchan Aruch that we're seeing this week. Shulchan Aruch paskins in Sif Chav Dalad, Ketzin Mishar, and Aboshes, Hakol Lefi HaMavayish HaMizbayish. In spite of the fact that in a Musar sense, we know that all Jews are the children of God, but Lahalacha, just as we discussed earlier, when it comes to calculating Nezek or Sheves, even if two Jews are of equal worth, The fireman collects a lot less than the bond trader, even though we don't believe that the bond trader is a loftier soul, but that's the way Nezek is calculated. The same thing, Boshas. Boshas is calculated based on social class, not based on the fact that Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. We find the same point in a Mishnah, a very similar point at least, in a Mishnah several dafim later. The Mishnah lists a whole bunch of fixed fee payments for different types of boshas, hatokela chaveiro, nosin losela. Mishnah gives satro, taka bazno, tsaram bazno, hever taliso, para rosha isha, someone who uncovers the head of a woman, that's the highest one, arba meazuz, pays 400. And again, zeaklal akolofi chvodo. The Tanakhama says that all these fixed fees are not really fixed, it depends on lofi chvodo, it depends on the social status of the victim. Rabbi Kiva says, no, again, Rabbi Kiva says, afilu aniyim shebi Yisrael, we look at them as though they're b'nei charen shiardu minichseim. Again, the same language as Rameir, shem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. I saw one of the Mepharshim say Rabbi Kiva is the same Shita, Talmud and Rabbi. And again, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara actually has a question about whether Rabbi Akiva is going l'chumra or l'kula. Tanakhama is l'kula or l'chumra. In other words, do we say that the Tanakhama said the fees are not fixed? Does that mean the Tanakhama said, let's say that 400 for Rosh HaIsha is the maximum for a very elite, very special person, but a lower class woman wouldn't get 400? Rabbi Akiva says, no, everyone gets 400? Or is it the other way around? The minimum is 400. The Tanakhama says the floor is 400 and you go up from there. Rabbi Akiva says, no, everyone has to have 10,000 because in the maximum, because everyone is Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. The Gemara comes out that the Tanakhama is Lakula, 400 is the maximum according to both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. The difference is that the difference is that according to the Tanakhama, the ceiling is 400 and it goes down from there as you sink through the ranks of society. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, they all get 400. And the Gemara proves that from the subsequent story in the Mishnah. The Mishnah brings a story, someone actually did do this terrible thing of Par Rosh HaIsha B'Shuk. Rabbi Akiva said 400. The Gemara says, oh, Rabbi Akiva said 400. So you see that, the Mishnah goes on. The Mishnah says that he wanted to show Rabbi Akiva that she wasn't such a dignified person. So he showed her that she took off her tichel. He caught her on a candid camera taking off her tichel just to collect some oil worth a very, very small amount. It was only worth keiser shemen, a very small amount of shemen, and it was worth it to her to disgrace herself and uncover her hair to collect it. He told Rekiva, such a person, I should pay 400 zuz. In other words, he made the argument, he wasn't Tamarids, he made the argument that the Tanakhama made, that depends on the person. This person is not someone who cares a whole lot about her dignity. Rabbi Akiva said, Lo mar klum. Rabbi Akiva says, Hachovel ba'atmu alfi she'ena rashoi patur achem shkol bo chayavim. A person can do what he wants to himself. If you do it, you're chayav. Similarly, Hakotis nithiyosev, someone who cuts down his own trees, he may not be allowed to, it's baltashkes, he's patur, acherim chayavim, and therefore you are chayav. The Gemara explains, that's Rabbi Akiva Shita. The Tanakhama says, the ceiling is 400, And you go down from there, and the Tanakhama basically would have said, this Isha definitely does not get 400, because she cared so little about herself that she uncovered her hair for a tiny amount of shemen. Rabbi Akiva's shita is, no, all Jews get this fixed amount of 400. Not entirely clear, again, whether Rabbi Akiva would argue with the first mission too. He would go like Rabbi Meir and say that all Boshas is fixed and is not Lefim Avayash Misbayash, or is that perhaps a special din of this Mishnah. Either way, we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. We don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. We paskin in the Sif we learned this week, in Sif Chav Dalet, we paskin the Kol Lefim Avayash Misbayash. And when we get to Sif Mem Aleph, in the end of the Siman, we're going to see that the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Rambam, that in all the torts of this Mishnah too, all these slaps and punches and Pararosh Isha, we're also going to paskin that these numbers are ceilings, and it's also a Kol Lefim Avayash Misbayash.
I'm not sure I understood what you said about Rikiva, that he was Lashitaso. Then why is he saying, even though if you do it yourself, you're putter? The guy was trying to claim that he's putter, or that he should pay less?
Less, and we pay a small amount, a maximum of a small amount. And because since it's a Kolofim of Ayashim is Mayish, this person's boshas is very low because she would do it for, she cares, so her boshas to her is worth very little. So I shouldn't have to pay all that much. His lashon is, I should have to pay 400 zuz to her, meaning he would have been okay with paying this.
The lashon of pater is a little out of
dafka. Yeah, right. Okay. There is a marshal actually in the Amshal Shlomo who says that even though the mission doesn't talk about that, but a person whose boshes is worth literally zero would talk again nothing. But the mission's analogy I think is just a rough analogy. That's how we pass him. That we pass in the kolofim of ayish and mizbayish. This actually leads to a problem which I don't have an answer to. I really don't know how to approach this. When we talk about objective nezek or sheves, it's easy to put a dollar figure. How much is he worth different on the slave market? How much is his income less? How much is sheves? How much are his doctor bills? Ripui, sheves, these are easy to calculate. Boshes and tsar are obviously subjective. Depends on the person. And that's why the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Sugis give us these calculations for depends on the person. Boshes depends on the person. Tsar, the Mishnah does not say depends on the person. But the truth is, Tsar and Boshas, it depends on another thing. Besides, let's say Boshas, besides the question of what is his social class, how much dignity does he have, there's another question. Two people who have equal dignity, one of them still might be willing to subvert his dignity for money if he needs money. If he can't pay his bills, he might do something degrading, not because he cares less about his honor, but because he cares a lot about money. He needs money to pay to put food on the table. His kids are hungry. It's the same thing with Tsar. Two people might, your Tsar is notoriously hard to measure in a scientific way. They're always asking you at the hospital on a scale of 1 to 10, but Tsar is, even in the medical literature, is notoriously hard to measure objectively. But conceptually, even two people who failed Tsar equally, if you ask this person how much would you pay to avoid the Tsar, like the Gemara says, they might give you different answers, not because the Tsar bothers him more or less, but simply because money is more important to him. A rich person who has millions of dollars in his bank account, billions of dollars, he would easily throw away $1 million because why not? I mean, he would spend $1 million to go on a vacation also. So why wouldn't he spend $1 million to avoid even a moderate pain? Someone who can't pay his bills and is struggling to keep his family afloat would not pay $1 million even if he had it, because he'd rather suffer a little pain. So it's not entirely clear to me whether the halacha takes that into account or only the objective tsar. When it comes to boshes, the mission says a kol lefi mavayish from his bayish. It does not say a kol lefi how much money he has in his bank account. The Gemara does talk about b'nei charon sheyardu minechsan. So you'd have to look more carefully at whether the poskim seem to take into account his finances too, and how much he could afford it. But this is something that has to be, I think, analyzed more carefully. And related to this is Rabbi Kiva's point, and the language that Rabbi Sussman pointed out before. Rabbi Kiva has finished off his psak by saying that if you do it to yourself, you're potter. If someone else does it to you, he's chayev. If you cut down your tree, you're potter. If someone else cuts down your tree, you're chayev. Now, we do paskin like that, both regarding trees and legabe chavala. In our siman, in one of the sifrim later this week, we're going to get to sif lamed aleph hachovel ba'atmo al pish ena rashai potter. You may not be allowed to be chovel ba'atmo, as we discussed in the context of plastic surgery, but acherim shechovel ba'chayavim, someone else is chayav. That's the language Rabbi Akiva used. Even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, the Shulchan Aruch still does paskin like this general rule that just because if a person injures himself, he's potter, someone else is still chayav. The same thing, the Smah points out, the same thing is true for trees. The Torah, back in Simon Shin Pei Beis, brings the same language about trees. If someone cuts down his own tree, he's potter. But if someone else cuts down your tree, you're chayav. So for some reason, even though this was a point Rabbi Akiva made to buttress his shita, that you don't say, I call up him a vayish from his bayish, we still pass in this language that just because you damage your own stuff, you're potter. If someone else damages your stuff, he is chayev. But again, that wouldn't really apply to boshes. Boshes, the exact case we saw of the isha, the Tanakhama would hold that if she is part of her own rosh, you would not pay her 400. And the Mashal, as you pointed out, the Mashal says it could even go down to zero if he cares literally nothing about his dignity. So even though Rabbi Kiva's application of this principle was to boshes, and we don't paskin like him about boshes, we paskin like kol afim avayish and mazbayish, nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch does paskin like this principle in general, that there is such a thing that just because you do it to yourself, you're potter, that doesn't mean someone else can do it to you. Just want to discuss one or two other cases where this comes up in halacha, this idea that just because you can do something to yourself, you're potter, someone else is chayev.
I assume potter is a la dafka.
Yeah, so
you're
not going to pay yourself. Yes, Tosis has already asked that question. Tachronim asked, what does it mean potter? Some poskim say it means potter for Malkus, for Baltashkis. Other poskim, the Torah doesn't even have the word potter according to some Gersos. The Torah just reads, even someone who is coaching the Tiyosef, still someone else is, that is a good point raised by the Rishon Makran. Potter is a little bit lavdafka. The basic point, though, the post can explain is that just because you're willing to do it to yourself, that doesn't mean someone else is going to be potter, someone else is chayev. This comes up in a very interesting apparent machlokas in Hilchos Shomer. There are two tshuvas. One of them is the Rosh Yosef. Rosh Yosef talked about a case where Reuven used to store his clothing in a kind of box, a chest of some sort. Now, the post can say that chests in those days weren't so good because the mice or the rats get in and chew up the clothing. Some people did it anyway, but it wasn't the most secure way of storing clothing. So Reuven gave clothing to Shimon to watch for him while he went out of town or something, and Shimon saw that Reuven was taking the clothing, that Reuven himself stored them in a chest. So Shimon put them in a chest also, and sure enough, they got damaged. Reuven said, you're a shomer. You're supposed to be watching my clothes. You should have taken better care of them. Shimon says, better care of them? That's where you put them. I'm supposed to be better than you? That's what you did. So the Rosh Yosef says, that's a good argument, and you are potter. If he doesn't need to take care of his own clothing, you don't have to do any more than him. That's not a steer to Ardin, because there the pshat is, the whole liability of a shomer comes from the fact that he accepts the commission to watch it, and he accepts it on whatever terms he thinks you want. If he doesn't think you want a greater degree of shmirah, he doesn't have to do more. So it doesn't mean he would be chalik on this mishnah, that if he injures himself, you could injure him too. But it's a very similar idea, and Rosh Yosef says, nevertheless, when it comes to shomerim, we do say such a principle. If he himself doesn't care, doesn't do a certain thing, you don't have to do it either. If someone keeps his car doors unlocked, you know that he doesn't lock his car door. You borrow the car, or you rent the car, and you leave the door unlocked, he can't come to you and say, you shouldn't have done it. I know you do it. I don't have to do more than you do. That's the Rosh Yosef. The Har Carmel doesn't mention the Rosh Yosef. The Har Carmel has an apparently a dissenting view. Har Carmel talks about a case where the legal regime was books had to have a special stamp purchased from the government, a sort of tax, basically. But you had to buy a stamp, pay a tax, buy a stamp, and put it in the book. If your book didn't have a stamp, you were in violation of the law. You would pay a fine, and more importantly for our case, the book is forfeit and could be confiscated by anybody, certainly government inspectors. Reuven had a book that didn't have a stamp. He was, he thought he can get away with it. Shimon borrowed Reuven's book. Sure enough, an inspector wandered by Shimon's house, saw the book, and confiscated it. Reuven said, pay me for the book. Shimon said, why? I didn't have a stamp in it. You didn't put a stamp in it. You don't care, so why do I have to care? Reuven said, that's what I do is my business. Nothing to do with you. You're a shomer. You have to meet the objective standards of Chazal. You should have, if the book is not stamped, you should have been more careful. You should have hidden it away. Reuven said, you don't do that. You keep your book on your bookshelf without a stamp, and why do I have to be any better than you? The Har Carmel says, chayev. He says, a person can do what he wants. He applies the rule of our Mishnah, basically. A person can do what he wants to his own property. That doesn't mean the shomer can do the same thing. Just like a mazik, I don't know if he explicitly makes the connection to mazik, but the same idea. Just like a mazik can't say, you would do it to yourself, so I can do it to you. No, what I do to myself is my own business, my own property, my own business, doesn't mean you can do it. You're chayev.
It's a little different, because the show's chayev owns it. Even
that's a very good point, and the Har Carmel makes that point too. The Har Carmel goes on to say that, that's the second point he makes, independent of any question of pshia, even if we say there's no pshia at all, a show is going to be chayev owns him anyway. there might be an issue of Meis Nachas Malacha or not, but yeah, you're right. Because it's a shawl, there's an additional reason.
I mean, if he's reading it like, and it's, and like as reading it, it fell apart in his hand, I mean, that'd be Meis Nachas Malacha. It's not leaving on a shawl.
That's a good point. We can debate. It's a separate discussion, but you're right. That's not obviously Meis Nachas Malacha. There might be an argument that it is. It certainly might not be considered Meis Nachas Malacha. But anyway, you're right. He does make this point that a shawl is chayv anyway. But the first point he makes is this point, that it is considered a delinquency in Hishmira for not taking better care of it. And the Rosh Yosef and the Har Carmel are arguing how to understand a certain Gemara above Metzia. They both discuss the following Gemara. The Gemara says, normally, if I'm a Shomer of you, I am not allowed to take the property and give it to somebody else. You ask me to watch it, you trust me, you want me, I can't transfer it to anybody else. There are, however, a couple of exceptions. One of the exceptions is, if there's a certain person who the owner consistently trusts, I know that routinely he gives property to the other guy, I'm allowed to trust that guy too. I could say, if you trust him, I trust him also. So the Rosh Yosef says, that's our case. Just like if I know the owner trusts Reuven, I can give property to Reuven. So if I know the owner puts his clothes in boxes, I can put the clothes in a box too. The Har Carmel says, L'char, that's right. L'char, you see that I'm allowed to do whatever the owner does. The Har Carmel says, no, the rule is always b'shalahu rashay v'lo b'shal chaveru. Just because he does something, if that standard is objectively negligent, I'm not allowed to do it. So what does the Gemara mean? I can give it to the guy just because he gives it to the guy. That's different, he says. There, the pshat is, if he gives it to the guy, that must be he knows the guy is trustworthy. So I'm not saying you do it so I can do it. I'm inferring that if you do it, it must be he's a trustworthy guy. But if something we know is objectively not good, like keeping a book without a stamp, you don't have any insight into the government inspectors. You're just willing to take the risk. But it's not in the case of Shomer Shmasa L'Shomer. If you're doing it, I see that you know this guy is trustworthy, so I'm allowed to operate on that basis. But if something is clearly, objectively pshia, not something which is good for the object, such as in Har Carmel's case, leaving it without a stamp, or presumably in the Rosh Yosef's case, neither of them mentions each other, but they seem to be arguing in this basic point, whether a Shomer has the defense of you do it, so I could do it too. So that's one other case in halacha where posts can actually debate this point, apparently, whether someone can say, you do it so I can do it, or whether we say, no, b'shalohu rashay, just because you do it to yourself, you can do it, you'll be pater, there is no pater, it's your own property, but chayim are still going to be chayiv, even if they adhere to that exact same standard.